All right. So today we're going to talk about feelings, emotions, and showing affection in dancing, because that is part of our dancing. But there is this tendency to go over the top with it. And this is something that we see very often on social media. And there's this fine line between a natural way of expressing yourself, but also doing too much, or even expressing it in a vulgar or sexual way. And to talk about that, we have Jorge and Luke from Germany with us today. Jorge, Luke,
hello.
Welcome.
Hola.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Backstage, the Bachata Podcast, where you get to know artists, DJs, and organizers from the bachata scene on a whole new level. My name is Lucy.
My name is Jan, and as you already heard, you know what this episode is going to be about, but you might be wondering why exactly we invited Jorge and Lu to talk about this topic. So I would say let's jump back into it and find out.
Are you doing good? Feeling good?
Yes, we are so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, thank you for the invitation.
Awesome. We're also very excited to have you, because the topic that we want to talk about today is something that came up very recently on your Instagram. But maybe it's better if you give us a little story or a background on what exactly that is and then how that came to be.
Okay, maybe I start first. I was just noticing that there are a lot of topics like those that you just mentioned that are not very addressed. Like, I don't really find discussions about them on the internet, on social media. So like very few. Sometimes you see it, but very few. So I thought maybe we use our platform and just put some questions out there. And it started basically not with the questions, but with like a statement or with like our own opinion that we gave to the people. And then we received so many comments and like so many new followers. Like, we have like a small Instagram account, you have to know that. It's not like we have a lot of followers. So all of a sudden I was like, okay, like this is big, like people are interested. So then, you know, we were talking about it and we thought maybe we have to put some questions out there to really give people a chance to answer and put their opinion there too.
And what exactly was that initial thing that caused it?
I'm not very sure. I don't think it was like a specific thing. It was more that I was like, maybe because of Corona and because I was basically having vacations in my semester. So I had a lot of time to think about things and like asking myself also like, what is maybe something that I should give out to the world as a teacher and as a social dancer. And I watched so many videos and photos on Instagram, and I noticed that there's so much, like so many people got more naked. So many videos got so intense in terms of emotions and like touching and everything. And I thought, this is weird. Like, is this because of Corona, or is it like, I don't know. So maybe it wasn't like a special point. It was more like growing. And then I found out like, no, I have to say something. Like, this got way too big. So, yeah.
We were actually in our free time after dancing with talking with our friends about these kind of issues almost all the time. And these are like non-spoken issues in the worldwide, right? And then Lou were thinking about that, and she started to post it on Instagram.
Yeah, it was really interesting because Jan mentioned it to me, so I took a look. I also responded to the questions, and it was quite interesting to see what the responses of everyone was overall. And I think I agree with you guys. People don't really talk about it out there, at least publicly, but maybe between friends, because I know I've had conversations with friends, but it never goes further than that. It's like this unspoken topic, almost taboo. So yeah, do you guys think maybe it's something that's been happening as an sort of evolution in art, you know, in bachata, that it's gone this way, or that it's more because of the Corona situation that people decided they had to do something new?
You want to start?
You can start it.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have like a good answer to that question. I guess maybe some people did it because they were bored and they thought, okay, how can I achieve more attention? So they just took their clothes off or, I don't know, did some very sexual videos. But I think we've seen that before also. Like I noticed, and I was complaining also like last year before Corona about some shows, about some videos, about some artist, not publicly because I don't want to put anyone out there, but like within our circle of confidence of friends, we were obviously discussing those things and like wondering if this is where we want bachata to go or not. So I guess it has been a topic forever. And we see that also in different, it's not only dancing, it's out there everywhere. Like you can talk about acting, you can talk about singing. Just the recent album of Jennifer Lopez, I don't know if you've seen it, like she's all naked on the cover. And of course she has a beautiful body and she's a strong woman, but still I find myself always wondering like, what is the purpose behind that? Like, is it really about the music or... You know, so in dancing, I guess it's the same question we ask each other.
Yes, I mean, that's what I say. She said everything. But it's, I think it's not part of Corona. I think it's actually, it started before of Corona. And now because everyone is at home, they are boring. And they say, okay, how can we gain more followers like that? But if we are, I mean, for me, watching this video is almost every, are the same artists who are getting naked, almost the same one. So probably there are one or two new ones, but almost the same one who are getting naked. And I don't understand why they are doing that.
Yeah. Well, to me, I mean, there are several factors. The outfits, of course, is just, you know, it's one part, but then there's also, you know, moves, like either it's styling, like, or it's moves that you lead. So these are two things for me. And I am, maybe we can talk a little bit more about the moves, like, you know, leading and following. Why do you think that this could become a problem? You know, because some people that are in the bachata world or maybe they are listening right now, they would say, yeah, okay, you know, someone can, they can all wear what they like, you know, they can move in whatever ways they want. But I would like to get your thoughts on that, especially as teachers. Like, what is your opinion on that, and how do you see that becoming a potential problem, if it's not already a problem?
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, for the beginners, who cannot dance at all, they think, oh, they are sexy move. I wouldn't dance like that without another person, and so on, right? But when they start dancing, they see, at least at our school, they see, oh, it is far more than only sex move. It is more technique. And actually, at the beginning of our classes, they have like 50 centimeter distance between each other. I mean, when they are dancing, no? Actually, bachata sensual in our technique, they are less leading with frame and they are not touching directly, no? They are only touching the elbows and like that, but it's like we are leading the sensual moves. And it's more technical than it's sexy, 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 you know?
I think it's a problem depending on where you are, because there are certain, let's say, styles that are more spread in some cities or in some within some groups and other styles. So we obviously prefer a style that is more, let's say, neutral, that is more technical. So maybe we don't have a lot of focus on the styling, but also we see people who style a lot, but it doesn't have to be necessarily like exaggerated or super sexy. Like you can also style in different ways. So I don't know, maybe it's like, it's a matter of like specific circles of people, like just because that's their gusto, that's what they like.
And it depends also on the teacher, because there are teachers who are actually teaching this kind of sensual moves directly at the beginning of the class. It doesn't really matter if you are beginner or advanced. So, and yeah.
And some teachers maybe also think that people would want that. Like they think that's what they are looking for. So they offer that in their workshops or their classes. And we think that's like a very like, it's difficult to do it that way, because then you maybe miss the whole point of it, which is like more about communication and like creating a connection, more than, for instance, having a super nice styling or, you know, just putting some random moves there that maybe are not part of the nuclear of the dance.
I mean, I do agree. Maybe people, there are, I'm sure, people who seek it out, you know, this specific style, let's say. But do you think overall people are aware of this, let's say, evolution, change more towards the more sexual or even more, I don't know, you know, away from that intimate communication to something that might cross a line? Because on social media, we see it a lot now, how you said, either whether it's clothing, styling, or even things like extremely intimate moves, like touching the face, is a lot in videos. So it doesn't look sexual, but it's a very intimate move to do to someone you don't know. If it's your partner, of course, that makes sense. You know, you have a connection with a partner, you know them, maybe it's your girlfriend or boyfriend. But I feel like a lot of people who enter the dance scene, and even people who are already longer in the dance scene, see this as the norm now, that it's okay to touch your partner's or a dancer's face, to be a little more maybe sexual movements. I'm not trying to say specific movement, but sometimes a move can feel a bit more sexual rather than sensual. It is a fine gray line area kind of there. Yeah. Do you think people are aware of this, or that it's becoming normal in a little quotation marks, because they see artists do this and teachers do this?
I think as before already, there are like certain types of groups, let's say, that prefer certain styles. So you can also see that within like the whole teacher world, and also the big artists, like for instance, Korke and Judith, they are the ones that trained us. For instance, we did the teacher certificate as well. And they are very like, let's say, calm about all those sexual things. They really focus on the technique, and also they have some styling, but they are not very sexual in the way they dance. There are also other artists, let's say Dario and Sara, and they play a lot more with like those sexuality, like expression and stuff. So I think even before maybe we started to think about this evolution, people sort of were like looking for their, like, how do you say, priorities or their idols. And they tend to just, how do you say, elegir, amor, me puedes?
Choose.
Thank you. One direction, I guess. So there are many directions, let's say, but maybe there are certain directions or certain styles that tend to differ more from others. So I think that was there before already.
So I find it nice that you first mentioned Korke and Judith, and then you mentioned Dario and Sara, and they are both from Spain, right?
Yes.
So one of the thoughts that I had at first was, okay, you know, maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe, very broad generalization, maybe Latin people, or yeah, people living in Latin cultures, they express themselves differently, but it cannot be that, right?
No, I don't think like that. I mean, it depends. In my case, for example, I was not a dancer totally, no? I was learning to dance. And so the way I learned to dance was with technique, no? Because if I was on the dance floor and you only put the music, I cannot dance at all, you know? So, and I think it depends on the person. And I was learning the technique at the beginning, so that is the way I think, okay, the things has to do, and I feel more comfortable like that. And there are some another kind of person who are really good dancers, and they don't really care about anything, and they just do sensual stuff because they want to, no? But it depends on the person, and it depends on the person and not on the culture, I think.
Yes, we have different mindsets, let's say, and some people, and I think we also have to accept that also as teachers. Of course, sometimes it's hard because you feel like you want to make people know about the technique and like how to be able to do moves properly, but we also have to accept that some people just go out there not to take classes, not to make proper techniques, but just to have fun and to express whatever they want to express. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's I think it gets quite difficult in this part, let's say, of the topic, because I don't know, out of personal experiences, I've danced in a bunch of countries around festivals. And I need to say, overall, when I was thinking about, we were brainstorming about this, I was thinking about the questions you guys asked on Instagram. Overall, I came across that when I, you know, Spanish in Spain, they're used to learning really bachata sensual because that's where it comes from. So it's very popular and it's very well known that a lot of people there dance really bachata sensual. And when I'm in Spain, I go to a local party. They do dance very sensual bachata, but I can't recall a time when I honestly felt uncomfortable or that I felt like it meant more than just the dance or that, you know, it was just sensual moves, but I didn't feel uncomfortable or that it was sexual or meant something more. So there was no line, let's say, crossed. But then I do remember moments in other countries, like, I don't know, back at home, also in Germany or in Holland, just countries that aren't considered maybe the most sensual dancers, let's say, for the most part. Well, that there are moments I went to a local party, for example, back at home, and then I was dancing with someone and they were, it's really difficult to say, I felt uncomfortable. I felt like maybe they're trying something, the moves were sensual, but they felt a bit more sexual or a bit more like they wanted more than just the dance. So yeah, I didn't feel very comfortable with it. And the thing is, I don't know if this is because the person or the I was dancing with was in it for the dance, like they started dancing because they like dancing, or if they were in it more to get something from it, or if it was maybe that they were just trying to, you know, copy the artists and their teachers who have a more natural sensuality in this area. And then you try so hard that it comes across as maybe too sexual, or, you know, things like touching the face. It's fine, but if I don't know a person on the dance floor and I've never danced with them before, I prefer they don't touch my face in a very sensual, intimate manner because I don't know them. Even if it's in the song, you can still be sensual in bachata, but that's a little too far. So it's really difficult to then say if the person learned this and they want to be something and try bring in the sensuality and it just kind of goes a little overboard, like too much or the wrong direction without them knowing, or if they're in it for something else. I don't know. If you know what I mean.
Yes, exactly. I feel you 120%. Well, let me say this maybe to start. In our post, the first comment or statement we put on Instagram on the stories was I was also writing about creepy looks. And somebody wrote me and he was like, it was a guy and he was like, what does that mean? Like, how do I know if I'm just having eye contact with a girl or if it's a creepy look? And I have to say, I really love when people just start to talk about it and to ask questions, because that's really what, you know, also for me as a feedback is this misunderstanding. Like, do people know what I refer to? So this is like a very, I will just make that example, okay? This is a very difficult thing to explain because it's something that you feel. It's like when we start in our classes with Bachata Central, we sometimes make like an example and we take each other or we take one of the students that we feel comfortable with and we just show what is the difference between, you can't see that right now for everybody who's listening, but somebody just touching, like going along the arm, for instance, and like grabbing the hand at the end, or doing it like with like certain intention and like certain, like, you know, and it, you can see that in the face. You can even feel that on your skin, but it's so hard to describe that in words. It's just something, it's just vibes. I don't know if you have any good word, help me please, because.
Oh, that's a tough one, because. Yeah, like I think we talk about it between our friends, but it's exactly, you can't really describe it. You have to show it, or
that happens a lot. But sometimes, talking about these creepy looks, it happens sometimes when the guy is insecure. You know? sometimes, at least it happens to me one time until Lou told me about that. Hey, you are not looking good over there. Yes. And but once you realize this, you are going to try to look nicely, you know. But of course, there are guys who are just doing that, just looking sexy and trying to seduce the girl. And that has nothing to do with dancing. It's more like, I want to pick up one girl tonight. And I think the girls feels that.
Because I think we do. Yeah, I think we do know. I mean, if it's a weird, creepy look because you're insecure, you don't feel confident, you can tell because it's more of a one-time thing. It's not a throughout the entire dance thing. But you have those dances. I'm sure everyone's had both leaders and followers, because I'm sure both parties have this issue where it just feels a little, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, like there's a line kind of being crossed, and it's not about the dancing anymore or the joy, but it just feels a little, especially because it's a stranger, maybe you're dancing with them for the first time. And instead of doing a sensual move, you end up doing something that looks very sexual, or just kind of looks strange and out of place on the dance floor.
And I think we can also tell most of the time if it's something that comes out of the situation. Like if you have some kind of moment and you have some deep look or something, you know, that, because that can happen, obviously. Or if it's something that one of the persons, like either the guy or the girl, the follower, the leader, whatever, is like just intentionally starting. It's not coming out of the moment. It's not a feeling. It's something that is like thought. And then they do it. And I think this makes it less authentic. And that's what makes you feel uncomfortable, because you don't feel recognized within this moment. It's something that's just coming from one side. It's not from both sides. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. Yeah.
But so that's how do you feel? I mean, as a girl, if you feel like that, that you are getting attacked, because sometimes the guys are like using this, trying to seduce the girl, but the girl doesn't want to do that, right? And some girls don't say, hey, stop, I don't want this. So it's difficult for the girl, right, to say stop, or how is it?
I guess it's hard because you even, like, how do you express that? You can't be like, don't look at me like this, because then the guy will be like, I'm just looking. Like, it would cause so many problems to have that communication within that.
I'm sorry, I'm imagining it just as a situation where I'm like, can you just stop looking at me? I mean, personally, there's only one time I left the dance floor at a local social. Oh, because, really? Yes, because I don't like leaving the dance floor or like leaving a dance. I usually finish it, but there was one time just because I felt the line was crossed way too much. They did not listen to anything, because if you feel uncomfortable, you can always kind of make some space, right? Or you're like, oh, I need some space. Even if it's not being uncomfortable, you just want a little space. You can kind of, by tension, right? Just a little more. And generally, they respond. They might let you a little out to breathe. I don't know. And it happened once that that didn't happen. That wasn't the case. And they were just constantly, you know, staring at you and holding you. And it was just so uncomfortable. So I had to leave. But usually in situations, at least for me, if there is a moment where I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's like a little uncomfortable, they usually respond to the tension, right? If you like, just kind of like make space a bit, they'll like, oh, it's not like they're trying to hold you in, especially if they're in for a dance.
So if we keep talking about the looks, the creepy looks, I mean, there's kind of like two ways, right? One is the guy that does it fully intentional. So probably what you just described. But then what Jorge said earlier, it might also come from, you know, insecurity. When I think back of my early days, I was also, you know, not sure, you know, how much eye contact is enough. When do I need to look away? When can I, you know, look? So how do you teach that? How do you get over that as a lead? How do you learn what is the right balance? Maybe that question is for Jorge.
That's a very good question. I mean, at the beginning, I was really insecure at dancing, no? And Lou told me about this. Hey, you are not looking. I mean, how do you say that? I mean, the way you are looking is not good.
You're staring.
Right. Thank you. Staring.
I like your eyes, but you're staring.
Right, the same sentence Luke told me like that. And I started to realize what I was doing wrong, okay? So, but the problem about this creepy look is that sometimes when you are so concentrated, you are looking to the down, you know? And girls think, oh, you are looking at my breast. But it is not like that. No, that sometimes happens like that. So once Luke told me that, I started to look, to get concentrated to other places or sometimes to look at her, but not permanently look at her eyes, because that's creepy, you know, the whole time look at her eyes. And the way we are teaching our students is like, when we realize that our students are doing like that, we told them, hey, you just be careful, you are doing like this. Just try to change your staring, you know, try to look differently like that. So we are making our students to realize they are doing something not wrong, but they are getting concentrated in one thing.
And we also tell the girls, our female followers, we tell them if the guy is looking here, but you can see that it's a very like concentrated and serious look, he's not looking at your breasts, like he's not checking out your body. He's concentrated and he's looking for some fixed point to get orientation on. So we also tell the girls, like especially for the beginners, because they are sometimes just overwhelmed by everything they have to do. So we want things to be clear. But we also tell the followers, they are usually girls in our classes, that they have to tell us, they have to report if something, some kind of border is crossed. It doesn't matter if it's violence, let's say somebody's leading super hard and you're saying, no, this hurts. Or maybe you have difficulties expressing that it hurts, but then maybe they come to us and tell us. But more also because of the sexual stuff, like because we know some people come there and they think, okay, dancing classes for couples is an easy way to get in touch with the other gender. And they want to abuse that situation. So we tell them, okay, if anybody does that, you're out. Like, it don't matter if it's a girl or a boy, but we know, unfortunately, usually it's more from the guy side towards the girls. So, and we really try to push our followers and say, okay, so if anything happens, tell us, because we have like a no tolerance there.
Did you ever have situations like that?
We just had one, I think, right?
I remember one time, two actually. I remember once we were here dancing at Social in Stuttgart, and unfortunately one Latino was there, and he was having this creepy look. And he was dancing with a girl, and this girl was a really beginner, no? And she didn't know how to dance and how to put boundaries. And he was really, really doing sexual stuff. I didn't see that, but Lou was watching at him.
Oh, and it was the one that I danced before with, right? Like
I have no idea you danced with before, him before. Yeah. But Lou went to him and told him, hey, I know what you are doing. I know what you want to do, so get out of here. You are not going to do this. So we are actually reacting directly because she was really afraid and she didn't know how to react, no? And
you can see she was a total beginner. She was like, it was maybe the first time she was at a party. She was so insecure.
Right. And he reacted really aggressive. He said, hey, get out of here to Lou. And then I was there. And then after 2 minutes, he got out of the party. No? So that was one situation. And I think at our party, Central Friday, there was one situation as well. But the girl told us about this. And then I talked to the guy.
Ah, yes, that's true. I also send Jorge sometimes to talk to the guys because I feel like if they are already crossing the lines, already crossing the borders towards girls, maybe I'm not the correct person, not the right person to talk to them. So I feel like maybe they accept it more if a guy unfortunately talks to them. So I'm very lucky in that situation that Jorge and I are a couple and that we work together and know each other, because I think as a solo girl teacher, maybe it's harder to get accepted in those kinds of situations by the guys.
No, it makes sense. And I think, honestly, with these situations, whether it's a beginner, mainly with beginners or people who are starting in the scene, but actually it could be with anyone, sometimes it's just really uncomfortable. And I'm talking both here about follows and leads, male and women, you know, male and female. You don't know what to do in those situations. No one really ever tells you, you know, you enter the dance scene, you learn how to dance, you learn the sensual moves, you learn some styling. You go to parties, but no one ever tells you that there's these things, you know, that happen where people might not be in for the dance, and then you feel uncomfortable. Like, well, what do you do? It's a song. You're at a party, you know, it's a 3-4 minute song, and it's, you're at 1:50 and you still got, you know, can you leave? Is it okay to leave? Or is that like, no, that's like, you can't do that at all. Because, and do you tell them during the dance? Do you tell them after the dance? Do you have to wait it through? What do you do, you know, as the follower lead? It's really hard. And I think that's what a lot of people face, like, a problem with. And then, yeah.
I think that's also a job teachers have to do more. Like, unfortunately, we know a lot of teachers who don't address those topics. And they think, you know, teachers, that's why we also put those questions about teaching, because, but that's a different topic. But just saying that, in our opinion, there's a whole package. It's not about being the best dancer if you want to be a good teacher. For us, being a good teacher means to really think about, what do people need? How do people learn? What are the rules of dancing for us? Of course, this just applies to our community. Maybe other communities have different rules, but we try to just create a space where everybody can feel safe and comfortable. And we, for us, but we teach in a very small city, which is not Stuttgart, but close to Stuttgart. It's called Tübingen. And there we started by zero, because there was basically no bachata, like no known teachers or nothing. So we started from zero, and we started with our bachata party, and people, there are not so many people coming. Like, it's also a small room, but those who come tend to come over and over and over again. And what they tell us, they say, it's just so nice here. Like, I feel so respected. I just feel calm and safe, and, you know, and that's really what we wanted. Of course, it would be nice if there were more people coming. We want to keep this atmosphere, this kind of intimate atmosphere, without having, like, intimate understood as something, you know, that's crossing the border, but more like a friend zone thing, maybe.
Familiar atmosphere, no?
Yeah, familiar atmosphere, that was it. Yeah.
Makes sense, because I think now how we started talking about, you know, on social media, especially artists, teachers, the videos that are coming out, they're getting more sexualized content, kind of a thing, more intimate. I think it's more important to actually talk about this topic so that people know, you know, there are moments you might feel uncomfortable, whether it's on purpose or not, from the other person. Like, if they're doing something to make you feel uncomfortable because they have different intentions, or they're doing something because, like you said, you know, the leader is nervous, or, you know, not sure what to do and uncertain of himself, or the follow is nervous and unsure of what to do. And I think it's important to talk about it, because then people know that, yes, it does happen in the scene. Now it might happen even more, because people start seeing that it's a norm to, maybe, for example, touch the face during a bachata dance, because they don't think about it like, oh, they're doing it, I can totally do it to any person. But I don't know. I've talked to my friends, and I know a lot of guys that aren't comfortable with strange follows, you know, touching their face, and
hell,
vice
no.
versa. Exactly.
Like, no, I mean, we talk mainly about, you know, what leads shouldn't do. But face touching is something that is, like, is universal.
Exactly.
For me, it's like, this is my holy zone. It's like, if your hand is in there, it's like, no, it's not good.
And one thing to add is, when I started learning dancing, and what I heard from teachers is, don't touch the follow's face, because you don't want to ruin her makeup. But I think that's totally wrong to give that as a reason. It's like, of course, if I have my face of makeup, I prefer you don't really touch it with, you know, our sweaty hands, because, well, took some time and effort. But it's not even that concept. It's more the, it's so intimate. I don't want every guy touching my face or every lead during every dance. It's just kind of weird. But I don't know if that's something that teachers and artists could maybe do more of, or if there are, because I haven't come across it. but to give reasons to both the follow and the lead that, let's stick with the hand example, do it, but, you know, don't overdo it and think about it. You're dancing for the first time with a person. Maybe it's not the best to pull out that move quickly, like in the beginning, like, oh, hello, let's dance. And all over the face.
No, it's just not, it's not social to me. If you think about it in the context of social dancing, that it doesn't, like, it doesn't belong there. But I still think, you know, if we go back a little bit about the role of social media, you know, to me, I guess we all, as to some extent, understand why some people, artists, choose to do that in their videos, right? I mean, it comes back to the very simple equation of, like, sex sells, right? So of course that's a spectrum, you know, how sexual do I go? But I find it a very interesting topic, you know. If, you know, face touching and then, you know, like more like, you know, outfits that are more like risque or like sexy, these things, you know, they produce more clicks, they produce more followers, more likes, and in turn, that means more eyeballs on you, more people that might click on your link in your bio, people that take online classes with you. But then at the same time, like, is it just a marketing instrument for some people? Like, are some people using it only for that? You know, because I was talking to a friend of mine who is teaching, and he says he's teaching in a certain region, right? And he said, well, a couple of months ago, this new couple started teaching, and the way of how they market themselves on social media is very, you know, like over the top, in all kinds of ways. But they are the ones that get all the clients, that get all the students. They sign up for their classes, but what they actually teach then is not as technical as the things that my friend is teaching. But because he kind of like doesn't want to, you know, air quotes, sell his soul for like likes, he's not getting any piece of the pie, you know? So what can you do?
Wait.
Yes, wait. I think sales, that's right. But if you are watching it every time, every day the same, it's going to get boring at any time. But if you are like staying at your own principles, no? If you stay with your own principle and work with your own principles, that's going to stay. And the people are going to go to your class because of your principles and because of your technical background, if you are explaining with technical. And probably at the beginning, a lot of students are going to the other teacher who is doing marketing with sex because they think, oh, wow, that's amazing. But who knows how the class is, no? I have no idea about that. But if they are doing the same and the same every time, that's going to get boring. And if you go back to if at any time you want to learn, really, really learn to dance, you are going to get back to another teacher. Yeah. I think that's at least my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think for us, we had the experience that the more teachers concentrate on just the appearance, don't matter if it's just like the outfits or, you know, the styling, less people who really want to learn something stay with them. Like, they come over and look for different teachers. Then they ask people who they think dance well and ask them, where did you learn dancing? And then they switch dancing schools because they want more. You know, so maybe those kinds of teachers who gain a lot of attention, they also good for the community because they make new people come in. But also then some of the people will leave them at some point, maybe, you know, not all of them, but maybe some of them.
Yeah, in other experience, I mean, we are very technical when we are teaching. At the beginning, we had like 8 students, right? Really, yeah. Really less students. But we kept teaching the same way the whole time. No, we are improving, of course, every time and getting better in teaching and like that. But we never got this sex marketing. We never did that. And now our students are doing marketing for us. They're saying, oh, go to Jorge and Lu, please. Go to Jorge and Lu. If you want to learn bachata, go there. No?
But we also try to make people understand that it's, you don't have to stick with one teacher. Like, go and get to know other teachers. That's why we also invite always other teachers, because we think, you know, maybe some couples or some teachers have a little bit more sexy style. Maybe you like that. So we cannot offer you that. So, you know, then maybe you can choose at the end of the day. It's just important. It don't matter if you make it a little bit more sexy, a little less sexy. Just like, don't cross the borders. And for us, that's what why I said our party is very like nice and like familiar, because we say no face touching, no acrobatics, no like creepy intense look, like licking your lip or like biting your lip or stuff like that, you know, like winking all the time. This is like, we don't want that, you
and
know.
No bone breakers.
Yeah, no bone breakers.
What is that? Suicide tips.
Yes. Basically. Yes.
No, it's definitely good to, you know, I think once you're in the dance scene, you learn what you want and like and would like to learn and improve by being in the dance scene. So by going to socials, you know what you need to improve on, what you're already maybe good at, what you can change, and what you like. You know, if this style of music, because bachata has different, you know, faces, let's say, or what you'd like to bring, what comes natural to you. But I think it's sometimes a little difficult to see what comes natural to you and then actually comes across really nice, like, well, and what's more of a copying style. So like, I want to do that because it looks sexy, and then I don't know if I do it, it's going to look super awkward, but I'll try anyways. And then it just, you know, the other person might perceive as uncomfortable and slightly weird and crossing the line. So
yeah. And also you have to tell your students about accidents. Like, as we just said, sometimes it happens within class that the leaders touch some parts of the followers maybe. And, you know, if it's guys and girls within one couple and you accidentally touch the backside or something. And then we also say, okay, try to evaluate in that situation. Was that intentionally, or was that just because you were turning and he was nervous and like he didn't know where to put his arm or something? You know, or what also happens a lot, you know, that like when you're in the shadow position and the guy is behind you or the leader and he has his hand like underneath your breast, and then he does like a double wave back and the hand is like pushing you, like, and you know, your whole boob gets like up to your throat. So like, I tell our girls, like, put your thumb on the hand of the guy. Because that's something Judith from Kork and Judith told me, because I asked her, I was like, I want to know how to defend myself in that situation, because it doesn't matter if it's an accident or not, I'm uncomfortable with this. So you put your thumb like on the guy's hand, and then you can just push it down and control it. And then maybe also the guy will notice, okay, this hand just slipped up a little too much. But of course, we also tell our students, this is not the technique. Like, you have to use your body to do that double wave and not the hand to push the girl back, but that's a different topic. Yeah. But
well, it can always happen. It doesn't have to be intentional. But I like what you mentioned. And you know, we talked a lot about, you know, we didn't mention artists, but we talked about artists that, you know, lead by an example that we maybe don't like. But I'm sure there are also, you know, on the other side, there are also many teachers that are doing good work in that area. So Judith might be one. So I would like to see, you know, are there more people out there that do these kind of, or are you aware of more people, more artists that, you know, teach or give tips into that direction? I saw Gatika was posting something lately, I think like last week or something, on how to handle, you know, if a guy is too close, and how you can, you know, adjust your frame while still being able to follow, but being able to keep your distance.
Yeah. So I think, talking about local teachers, we have a lot of friends who also teach, because we met them basically dancing. And we know a lot of them also have the same values. So I don't know. I don't think I have to mention names, because maybe that will be uncomfortable. But maybe yes, if you tell me that, it's okay. But we know.
Yeah, go ahead. We're here to celebrate. No?
Yeah, but we
let's,
know.
Yeah, let's not shame artists that do it, but let's praise those that do good work.
We know teachers who really like focus on the dancing, and they have share the same values. And I think that's important. But it, also the negative is, that's like a psychological thing. The negative also points out more. And you get more like, you know, just like feelings that you want to express when you see something negative than when you see something positive, because you think, oh yeah, that's nice, but that's like normal, you know, or should be normal.
That's true. And kind of a shame, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see 9 good videos, and then you see one that makes you question like your whole existence in the other world. At least that's how it is for me.
But it is, sometimes a lot of content with like the sexual vibe, let's say. Depends.
But it's also common sense, no? Everyone has common sense and should know, okay, this is not normal, I should not do this to the girl.
Yeah, but if you read the comments, everyone loves it.
I think what maybe, or this is just what I think, I don't know if you guys agree, maybe the person, whether it's a lead or a follow, should always ask themselves, would I like this if someone did this to me?
Really,
and I think that really answers a lot everything. Of problems on the social dance floor. Like, would I like someone to rub their cheek on mine? Would I like someone to run their fingers through my hair super slow? You know, and if I say no, probably the other person will also be a no. So
maybe, yeah, I think, but also some of the people who start dancing, they never really thought about it. And maybe they even just started with dancing because they thought, this is something I've never experienced. Maybe they're even having trouble like to be in contact with the other like sex. So they start dancing and then they think, okay, this is normal because I've seen this in videos. And actually, very nice, a guy just recently when I posted this stories apologized to me because he was dancing with me and he did like a dip backwards to me and then he just crossed with his hand like this through my breasts. So like with like the
side
like that hand, but this, yeah. So it wasn't like directly touching my boobs, but it was like so uncomfortable. And I told him and I was like, no. And he was like, it was just this part, like in the dance, he like already felt like uncomfortable. And I was like, still no. And then he saw like the stories and this was like a few weeks ago. And then he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say that. And I said to him, that's great that you apologize because, you know, now you understood. So I think maybe people are not really thinking about maybe I hurt someone or maybe I put somebody in a very uncomfortable situation. They really try to like make it sexy or copy something they've seen or feel great about it, you know. And then they're like, when you point it out, you're like, this is weird. They'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable. So
that's the thing though. You saying that, okay, that's super weird. What you were describing, I was like, wait, what? Someone did that on the dance floor? Just because for me, it just like, I don't know. Like then I wonder with the social media, is this then becoming the norm? Like people don't think about it anymore because no one points out it probably running the side of your hand down the,
yeah,
you know,
but it's not so easy. It's not so easy. I mean, Lucy, previously before, like you talked about, you know, like what if you can just have empathy for the other person, right? Like,
yeah.
would I like it if someone is doing that? So that's one way of getting empathy, but it could be that another way is also, you know, you're a guy, you see these videos on, you know, let's say a video that all four of us, we would say no, like it's a clear no, you know. But then I'm repeating myself, but you go to the comment section and the people love it, like 95% of the people. And to me, this blows my mind and I don't understand, you know, but it could be that these people are not even dancers. They're just, you know, like non-dancers that maybe they like to see that amount of, you know, emotion and affection. But then, if you're a guy and you see, oh, wow, 90% of the people in the comment section, they love this. So that must mean people like this and I'm going to do it.
But that's the thing. It's becoming, it feels like a norm then, like that we all assume it's okay and normal, even though if you think about it, because social media, it's there. It's easy to take in. It's easy to take in a lot of information. And people, let's just say overall human beings are quite lazy and we don't want to do the work when there doesn't need to be work and effort of thinking, right? So if you see the comment section, you go, oh, great, everyone loves it. You're not going to think twice that, wait a minute, it is a little weird to run my hand between a stranger's boobs. But me saying it like this, very direct, I mean, who would say, oh, no, that's normal. That's like, yeah, why not?
But maybe a lot of the people who put the comments there are not even like real dancers. Maybe a lot of them are just, you know, random people. And maybe when they see a performance of, you know, somebody like Rihanna or Miley Cyrus, let's say somebody who gets very sexual on the stage, they also say, you know, this is great. Like, I like it.
Very true.
Because you get so used to it. We see commercials, we see like TV shows, we see, you know, everything is so sexualized in those days. I think for people, it's not even like a, what is this anymore? No, they think, yeah, that's normal. That's like maybe a dream they want to be put in. Like they want to be sold that image. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, a couple of friends of mine who are not dancers, they sent me one video from artists doing like sexual stuff. And they told me, hey, Jorge, can you please dance like that? They told me like that. I said, no, I'm never going to dance like that. We're never going to dance like that. So that's not the way our style is. But it's like Lou said, probably most of these people are actually not dancers. No, they only see nicer, sexy, sex, whatever it is. And okay, nice bachata. Even though it is hip hop, probably.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're still at the point where we have to tell people about it and also show the people how to defend themselves. Like the video you mentioned of Gatika, that's also something we tell the students. Like you can put your arm always, even though the frame needs to be outside, you can switch and put it inside and push the other person away if he or she is coming too close. That's definitely something. I think we also have to put more effort in just in general in our society to make people understand, especially girls, like you can say no, like you can publicly and out loud say no, because usually the boys still tend to be raised more with this awareness, like, no, I have my boundaries, I have my borders, like that's just because of the, you know, because of the former times, let's say. Now it's getting better, of course. Every year, every decade is getting better. But still, I think, because I just remember myself, I totally thought I was independent and strong and stuff. You know, I was like walking when I was 14, I was walking through the streets of my city from like a party and I had no fear. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I never felt that I was disadvantaged because I was a girl. But then you get into this like situations where you're very close, maybe with a guy, and then you see, no, there are people who take advantage of you, and they wouldn't do that if you were a guy. That's something we have to be aware of, you know, and you need to tell girls or women how to defend themselves without also being like violent or, you know, crossing the line, but just to say like, no, this is not okay.
That's right. But I think and I just want to say, guys, please respect the girls. I mean, there are boundaries, and please respect and feel the this feedback that the girls is giving you. Normally, the girls give you, hey, please don't get close to me. Please don't touch me. And just respect that. Because if you're not respecting that, that's attacking the girl and you are just sexualizing the girl. And that's not the way we are dancing.
And some girls are still smiling a lot during social dance because that's how they were raised. They were taught to be always nice and friendly. You know, I know it from myself. And you have to learn through growing older, gaining more experience, to say like, no, I don't have to smile. If this dance does make me uncomfortable, I can also have a mean look on my face or even say, no, I want to stop it. That's totally okay.
Yeah, that's very important because, because if the girls is smiling while the guys is touching your face, so for the guy, it means, oh, that's okay, that's nice. The girls like it. So yeah, I'm continuous doing that. I don't get that negative feedback. So, I mean, the guys does not have to do that, but the girls should not smile.
Yeah, I think definitely if more followers or more girls would put more like, let's say, rough reactions, like in a certain way towards these crossing borders, guys would hesitate more with this behavior. I think we're still being too nice, unfortunately.
Yes.
And that's also a thing that Dominican bachata teachers or dancers, they complain about within the Bachata Central section. They say, okay, there are so many moves that could be interpreted as like some sexual, you know, thing. So it's even more important to set the boundaries, and they just see that people don't respect the boundaries. It's like, it's very different in Bachata Dominicana. That's why, you know, it's always important to also talk to other teachers and talk to and look at other dances to understand maybe how you can improve also or make communication about it possible. Just saying that girls can also, of course, you know, cross the borders. We also know less, but we also know a girl and she just, you know, when she grabs a guy, she just hangs there on him and she wants to be carried throughout the room. Like there is no space in between her and the guy. So the guys usually also, you know, flee because they say, no, 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 I don't want this. Yes.
But we have an advantage because we are leading and we just take our space. No, we try to lead differently.
Yeah, but these moments also create empathy.
Right.
Like for me, that like one time in Spain, and then like the girl just goes forehead to forehead. You know, that's fine if I, you know, like if you build up the dance and you invite each other to, you know, that closeness. But as a lead, once you experience it yourself, how uncomfortable it can be. That's when you also can, you know, start to develop more empathy towards like, oh, wow, okay, that's how it feels like. And she was not even, you know, like she was following. And now go figure how it is if you're dancing as, you know, with a leader where he has the lead. So, yeah, to me, those were also... So on one hand, I wouldn't have wanted it to happen. But at the other hand, it's also like, okay, it's nice that it happened because it created empathy for myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, new style, Koala Chata. Dancing as close as possible, hanging on to the other person.
Boy, not so far from reality.
No, but I think it is. I think it's the topic isn't talked about too much, but it is talked about more regarding to the women in the scene. But I have seen that it's been also vice versa. And then guys don't really talk about it because it's not manly enough if you feel uncomfortable. So...
Well, I have to say, I'm pretty certain it starts with us guys. Like, not us who are here in the room, but, like, guys. And, you know, with some people, all hope is lost, in my opinion, you know? Some people, you cannot change them, but that's, I think, where it becomes important, and that's where the teachers come into play. Like, you need to establish these things as early as possible in the process. And even if these people come to you, you know, from seeing Instagram videos and thinking that's how they dance, that's fine. But then it's up to teachers to, you know, correct that mistake.
I also think to some extent it's normal that teachers or artists, especially the big ones, that they have to sell some kind of product, you know, because they depend on it. And also, if you look at it, which kind of personality is looking for that kind of job or that kind of, you know, work. If you want to be an actor, if you want to be a dancer, if you want to be a singer or a painter or something like that, you usually seek the attention. That, like, if you don't seek attention, you usually don't choose that kind of work. So I think it's maybe to a certain extent also understandable that they try to sell something and, you know, create an image of themselves. But if you do that, that's my recommendation just from teacher to teachers. Just try, you know, because Jorge and I, if we're dancing a demo, maybe we go some romantic, put some moves in it. Maybe I touch his neck also because I like to touch his neck, but I would never teach that in my classes. And I would also say to my students, this is not something you do with everyone. Like, you know, but still Jorge and I, we are not touching, like he's not touching my hips or my boobs while dancing. Like this is like a clear border. So I think maybe teachers have to say, okay, which extent of like romantic, you know, flow is okay to show and where do I have to set the boundary? Because people will copy it. Yes or yes, they will. And as you say, some people are maybe just lost, like, but those are usually the ones who either don't have good teachers or they don't take classes at all. So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But so nice that you guys invited us to talk about this, because I hope that now people can listen and maybe, you know, we also don't want to say, you know, this is not allowed or this is allowed, even though we have our clear boundaries, but we just want people to talk about it and just start discussing.
And I think, yeah. Well, we're really happy you guys came on and did the poll on your Instagram stories. It was really interesting. And I think, like you said, the main thing is communication. And in dancing, it's okay for both the lead and the follow to say when they are uncomfortable and to not be afraid of it, because, you know, the other person or involved might not even be aware of it. And then if they know it, they'll know it for next time. And it's just, we shouldn't be afraid to speak up if it's something slightly negative. You know, it's constructive criticism. That's the word I was looking for.
Cool. Yeah. And we are playing a part in, you know, spreading that message and whatnot. So I'm really happy that you took the time to join us and to talk about this, to spread this message. Also because quite a lot of our listeners are actual teachers, like teaching. So that's also good. I'm happy that we could make this happen. Yeah, I would say we can wrap it up. And if people want to follow you so you can have more followers, even more, your social media will explode. How can they find you?
On Instagram, our name is Jorge and Lou. So just fill in like the English word "and." And on Facebook, I guess if you type in Jorge and Lou, you will just find us. I think it's Jorge and Lou Bachata Central.
Yeah, actually it's the same. Yes. Jorge and Lou.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right, that was it again for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And by now you probably know the drill. If you liked it, make sure you send it to a friend. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on the new episodes. And you can also follow us on Instagram. You can find us there under backstage.podcast. That's where we're going to post small snippets out of the podcast episodes. And that's where you're also going to see who's gonna come up next and all that kind of Instagram stuff that you usually get. So follow us there on backstage.podcast, and we will catch you in the next one. Peace.